Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're very welcome back. 51551 on the text. Now, it is pilgrimage season, by the way, and one of the highlights is Reek Sunday. That's happening on the 27th of July, and the faithful gather and make the hard climb up Croagh-Patrick, sometimes barefoot. And alongside Loch Derg and the Knock Shrine, the Mayo Mountain is also one of the features of the 2025 Pilgrim's Passport. One man who knows every stone on the way up is John Kenny. He's the administrator priest of Westport Parish, which includes Inishturk and Clare Island. What a beautiful part of the world, and arranges the annual pilgrimage. Good morning to you, Father John.
Good morning, Oliver, and it's a delight to be here. Hello to all your listeners.
Delight to have you. You brought a stick in with you as well.
I did, not to beat you, but that's my stick for climbing the Reek.
It is.
It was gifted to me some years ago by a man who carved it.
Beautifully carved.
Beautifully carved.
St. Patrick,
is it? Selling them in a pub at Campbell's, and when I picked out the one I liked and wanted to pay for it, he said, no, Father, I have more outside. So we went out to have a look at them. And he said, no, I want you to have this one free. But he went, yeah. So he gifted it to me.
It's been up and down Croagh-Patrick ever since.
Ever since.
Is it Blackthorn?
I'm not actually sure.
No, I don't think so either.
It's kind of it's like the stuff you make Harleys out of.
Oh, this is, well, that'd be Ashton.
This is an Ashton, yeah.
You see, I knew you'd know. come here, unusually for a priest stationed in Mayo, you're also from?
I'm from Mayo, yeah. From a place called Tourine. Well, believe it or not, the devil appeared back in the 1950s.
Is that its claim to fame?
Very much so. There was a lot of rivalry between dance halls at the time. Nightclubs hadn't taken off. And a local Monsignor Horn, who was a curate at the time, fundraising for the hall, I suppose. He built a hall, got a hall there. He went on to do greater things, basilicas, airports. But the devil, he met the devil on the way, yeah. Back in the 50s, the rivalry. The story went out, and of course, this was to put people off going there, but it actually brought more bigger crowds.
Of course it did.
Typical Irish, yeah.
It was the moral panic that thought the devil had put them off. No, it was like, where is he?
Where is he?
Did we get a good look at him?
Is he a good dancer?
And from there then, did you go straight into, what was the path in life?
Yeah, I went to college. I was studying in Galway to be a teacher. And for a while there, I wasn't settling in or getting on too well. And I thought, you know, something, I wanted to work with people. I knew that much. So I said I could continue this degree in college in Maynooth maybe and check out if I have a vocation, because I was influenced, I suppose. We had a lovely religion teacher and chaplain at the school I went to, and I suppose I felt a calling, a whisper. It wasn't really a call. And I checked it out, and I suppose transferred colleges after 7 years then.
It was an audible call in those days, wasn't it?
Not dramatic, yeah, but it was, I say, a whisper. Okay. Yeah, a whisper.
I mean, as in the people were calling for priests all
the time.
Yes.
So,
did you have, you were a priest then for the days when it was an office of great power and influence?
Well, I became a priest in 1988, the 80s, late 80s. There was a lot of change happening that time. I suppose we were on the crest of a wave from the Pope's visit back in the late 70s.
That's right.
And things got a little bit more complicated along the way, I suppose, is one way to put that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the 80s were quite different. A lot of my classmates went abroad and left. At our tin reunion, I discovered what they were up to, and they discovered what I was up to, and they were surprised at me and I was surprised at them. And how are you getting on? How are we getting on? And yeah, then into the 90s.
And as a curate, you were around Mayo as well?
I was mostly in the west, to begin with Castlebar, then on to Clare Island. To Achill Island, where I was there for 6 years as well, then back into the mainland again.
Is this the period now in your life where you're the only one where there were many?
That's right. I was a curate 25 years ago in Westport, and I worked with five other priests.
Oh,
and I suppose they got me back, it brought me back, and I'm on my own. But we work in the deanery, the neighbouring priests. We kind of work, we organise rotas and visiting to the islands and so on. I'm sure you've heard of the Pirate Queen, as in Grace O'Malley. Yeah. Well, I describe myself as the pirate priest, covering most of the Bay Area around Clew Bay and Westport.
Because you're on the water.
On the water and around the coast, yeah, that's it. Nothing stronger than water, by the way. I don't drink.
You don't drink at all?
No. Well,
because you're quite regarded as a very fit man, aren't you? You do.
Yeah, try to be fit. It's hard to schedule it and timetable it now a little bit. There's a lot going on where I am. Where you had a team of five, it's trying to juggle that amount of work for one,
Do you still surf?
I did surfing for 12 years when I was on the coastline, but now I do paddleboarding. There's not as much surf where I'm working now. I'm back again. Yeah, paddleboarding is something I took up maybe 07.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
when it wasn't, it was a new.
It was very early.
Yeah, it was very early. It was very trendy of me to do that, wasn't it?
The OG paddleboarder.
Yeah, that's right.
Father John.
That's right. Yeah, it was the next best thing to walking on water, I suppose.
So you keep yourself active the whole time.
Yeah, and cycling a bit and walking and so on.
This title as administrator, it sounds very businesslike.
It does. I suppose the norm would be when you're working in a parish on your own or the senior priest in a parish, you're called a parish priest. Mm-hmm. But I'm an administrator in the sense that actually the actual parish priest is our Bishop Francis Duffy.
Oh, right.
So I kind of, he's administrator also. There's an administrator in Tuam where he lives. Mm-hmm. It's a technical thing, I suppose, but it's equivalent to being a parish priest.
It's a bit more CEO style.
I was a parish priest for a good many years, and I regard this as a move sideways, not but down, up or back or over. It's a sideways move, yeah.
Is it? Is this kind of then the ceiling in terms of promotion? Or
I suppose, well, in terms of working in a diocese as a priest, yes.
What is it?
Then maybe
you could be a bishop, of course.
I could have been a bishop, yeah.
You could have been.
If I'd joined the Augustinians, I could have been a pope.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's Pope Leo comes from that order. Does that mean that you won't become a bishop now when you say?
Well, there's three of my classmates bishops, and they say two is company, three is a crowd. So there's a crowd of bishops from our class. I don't imagine that there's room for another one from our class or my class, but I suppose I'm getting slightly past that appointment now, getting into my mid 60s.
I don't know how it happens.
The Holy Spirit, bit of a mystery.
Sorry,
going
I don't mean
on there.
To laugh.
No, that's okay.
But
no,
it
no.
is there are there is politics.
There is there, well, there is I suppose the background of a priest. You might say his CV would have a lot to do with that in terms of your qualifications and your experience in ministry. To be serious about it, whether it was teaching or administration or whatever kind of work you were doing might lead into or guide you into a position like being a bishop.
You have to want it and seek it.
Well, you'd have to accept it if it comes your way. The choice is kind of made by the priests of the diocese. They submit every few years, they submit some people they might consider to be a bishop. And then the bishops themselves, the conference of bishops, look at that suggestions maybe and pick somebody from the pool of suggestions.
Right.
It seems like Pope makes the appointment.
It seems like a lovely job because the house is called a palace.
Yeah.
They don't have to do services, do they? Except
well, the titles go back historically. I mean, yeah. I mean, even if you look at chessboard, you look at the pieces in the chessboard, the bishop is in there. He's fairly powerful on a board.
That's right. That's
but
a
not
good point.
Ultimately, yeah. So, yeah, historically, yes, but I suppose it has evolved differently over the centuries and it's yeah.
And the bishop can sleep in on a Sunday, but you can't.
Well, no, he does. He does his work too.
That's true.
And our bishop, he's covering a lot of ground because we're amalgamating a diocese at the moment.
So the stress on the bishop
Tuam.
As well.
Yeah, yeah. It's like school amalgamations. You have diocesan amalgamations, parish coming together as well. I look after Westport, but I also look after Clare Island, Inishturk, and part of a neighbouring parish called Kilmina and Fahey. So it's all about amalgamation.
Do you have much services to do in Clare Island or on Inishturk?
I do the deaths, births and marriages, and I'm on rota mostly the winter months. They see me a lot. During the summer months, guys are happy enough to volunteer and go out. But if it's a storm coming, they don't want to get on a boat and get seasick. None of us like feeding
the
fish.
You.
That's me, yes. I feed the fish when I go into Turk. Yeah, so I avoid breakfast.
Is that what the locals call it, Turk?
Inishturk, our Turk, yeah, Inishturk.
Come here, did you say you're in your mid 60s?
Yeah, now? I was, I'm a child of the 1963.
Not drinking and being active is, you know, maybe some good moisturiser or something along the way, but...
Oh, the sunblock is on today, even though I don't need it. Lashing rain out there, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Heat wave, where is it?
I know. Yeah.
Wave, bye-bye.
In the continent, that's why they'd be flocking here. So it's obviously a beautiful part of the world.
Wonderful. And I mean, the magnet of the area, I would say, as well as Clew Bay itself, the mountain.
Yeah.
And it's nearly always visible. And even when it isn't visible, the clouds are hugging around it like a scarf. So the mountain, Kirkpatrick, really draws your attention and attracts people, I think.
And on a clear day, looking out towards Clare Island and out, it's stunning.
The whole, 365 islands. One of the Beatles owned one of them. I've forgotten the name of which island, yeah. Yoko Ono and John had an island, yeah. They set up a little commune for a while, but that kind of the cold weather got them and... They decided that wasn't such a great idea and they left and it was sold for charity. Yoko Ono sold it a few years back, yeah.
You are a modern priest, so that means social media?
Yes, I see it. I use it very as positively as I can. More so Facebook and Instagram. I wouldn't be my TikToker now or Snapchatter or whatever. But yeah, I find it's very useful. And I go on to it most days, or certainly in the morning. I put up a little message for people to reflect on, something positive, a little prayer reflection. And then it's a great way to kind of keep people informed of what's happening. It's linked in also to our parish website. The website of the parish.
I reminded some nice things happen on social media on occasion.
Yes,
don't they?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I wouldn't go into the percentages, but yeah, I focus on the positive. There is a lot of negative stuff, of course.
Is there? Comes at you?
It wouldn't come at me personally, I think, but just it's out there, isn't it?
It is.
It depends on the algorithm and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's the loudest voice. It gets through. That's, and it generates the income for the companies. That's why they love it. So you have kind of affirmations and prayers.
That's right. And any news items or stuff I get up to, there's a lot of pictures of me on surf paddleboarding and the scenery and the mountain and the cycling and all that. And
you've many interests.
I have. And I did cannonball for a few years too. You mentioned
that's the sports cars.
That's the car we did for charity run. Yeah. I haven't done that for a while now. It's hard to get cover those weekends. And I drive an electric car, which isn't too popular with
you're the, mad into cars.
Well, I suppose growing up on a farm, the first thing you learn to do is drive a tractor.
Of course, yeah.
And then
about 7 years of age.
That's right. I believe you have to do the license now for it. I'm glad I haven't started all over again.
For Joe, it didn't worry us. No, it's very important. But
and
you can get it first.
My mum had a Honda 50 as well, so that was a great way to get
around. Oh, very cool.
And she used to use it going to visit her grandfather. Our grandfather said he'd given him his little diabetic injection in the morning and the evening. And we get to have a spin on the bike with her. And Lord of mercy on my granddad, when he died, the bike died. She got rid of it. She didn't want any of us getting on motorised transport was out.
150 nowadays.
Yeah, so.
You were famous for driving around in a Chrysler at one stage.
That's right, PT Cruiser. I love the jazz era and all the music that goes with it.
Did that break down all the time?
No, it was okay of car. It looked great, but it didn't go great.
No, it doesn't look great. What did you have written on the sun visor?
Okay, well, I used to have a message saying, "Don't worry, be happy." But that was taken over by the lottery people. So then I moved on, and now today, and you can, if you're out there today, you'll see I'm always on a mission. You can't contradict that.
On a mission.
Always on a mission.
Always on a mission.
Always on a mission.
You're a bit of crack.
It's outside. I'm parked outside here.
You have a Chrysler with you?
Not a Chrysler, no. I moved up. I graduated. A wonderful car called a Tesla. A terrible brand, but great car.
You drive a Tesla?
A Tesla 3. As I said, a great car, but a terrible brand. Yeah, I'm selling it on second hand. Anyone wants to give me offers, I'll take any
mileage?
Offers.
What's the mileage on it?
Yeah, actually, the last car I sold, this is going off. I don't know.
Sorry, it's my fault.
The last car I sold it to a guy called Rick Bishop. So I knew it was going to sell. Yeah, pre-selling a car to a bishop had to be a sale. Anyway, sorry.
On a mission. I should mention, just to give people the image, that you're in a beautiful leather jacket. So that image of you with your shillelagh in a Tesla is all you need to know.
Oh, and don't forget this little, my lapel pin.
That's
all to do with the Pilgrim Passport, which I came to talk to you about.
Beautifully broad. Lovely segue. The Pilgrim Passport, it's a Jubilee year. It always seems to be a Jubilee year in the Catholic Church.
Every 25 years.
Oh,
last Jubilee year was 2000. Do you remember the planes were going to drop off the sky and everything?
Well, I know, having been to Italy, they're very hopeful it's going to boost their dwindling tourism
numbers.
Well,
at the moment, they're roasting and toasting out there. People holding umbrellas up to keep the sun away while we're back here with the rain away.
So here is a lovely, mild place to stamp your Jubilee passport.
So, there's international. When people talk about pilgrimage, they think of Rome, Lourdes, Fatima, all these foreign places. But the Irish bishops thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to promote some of our own? So we got our brains thinking together, and I and others were approached. Father Laughlin up in Knockderg, Father Richard Gibbons in Knock, and myself putting this programme together.
They're the three places.
Three places. If you do the three this year, the Pilgrimage Sheet site, you can get a little pen. It's just a nice memento of the year.
Because you'll spot the other pilgrims, which are wearing the pin, and have a chat. Yeah, have you done? Because you can do it in any order.
You can do it in any order. And some people will do one or two or three of them. If they do all three, it's kind of the I suppose you call that the little...
I see the leaflet, there's a gap for the stamp. Who's doing the stamp?
Each venue you go to will stamp. So you've completed your pilgrimage or been on pilgrimage. And people, I must mention this, sorry now to go off.
Not at all.
When you climb the mountain, you'll discover any mountain across Europe, any high mountains, they used to leave a little booklet where you could sign in to say you were there.
Yeah.
What your experience was like. We don't have a booklet, but we do have a little QR code on the door of the chapel, or the oratory.
Go away.
Click on that or go on that and you can leave your little message shared with others. And it hasn't caught on in a big way, but it is a lovely way to kind of express your feeling about your experience going up on this mountain.
Very good idea. Is there mobile reception at the top of...
Absolutely. Yeah. The first time I heard a person using a mobile phone, which was many years ago up there, he was telling me, and you wouldn't believe where I am today. I'm on top of Kilpatrick in County Roscommon, and I shouted, "We're not in County Roscommon." But that was the first time I heard a phone being used up there. But yeah, there's plenty of coverage.
So the QR code will work.
QR code.
What a nice thing, because you like to take a pause when you get to the summit.
Yes, on that point, there's a little pilgrim prayer card we produced as well, with five little points where you stop. But don't worry, I'm going to leave you these, by the way.
Very good. I haven't gone up Kilpatrick in years. I remember it being a very rubble-strewn
pass. You'll have to come over and I'll teach you how to paddleboard.
Mealery is beautiful.
Yes, that's a challenge. That's a serious one now. That's the highest. Yeah.
It's boggy as well at the bottom.
Boggy, and I'd say bring a guide for that one. Don't go on your own you need somebody with you.
And paddleboarding, I'm not sure I'd be...
Well, if you can bend your knees and balance like you would a goalie...
I'm out already.
Yeah, well...
Knees.
No, I know what you mean.
It's not hard.
So that's the pilgrimage. And you're organising the Reek Sunday pilgrimage.
Yes, the annual pilgrimage is the last Sunday of July every year. And this year and last year, it has an unfortunate coincidence. Maybe the All-Ireland is on. But that's been of course, that might change again. All-Irelands have a habit of moving to different dates. But... The interesting thing about Reek Sunday is every county jersey will be on the mountain that day. And if people are involved with the actual final, they'll be up early. Yeah,
and you can get the Orty player on the summit. We can stream it so you can all share the experience. And whatever the weather is, it happens.
It does. And over the years, it would be the biggest attendance of 50, 60, 70,000. It's dwindled now to maybe 5, 4, 6, 8,000, depending on weather, depending on who's in the All-Ireland. In the course of the year, there's more people climbing. I'd say there's 100,000.
Well, really, it's gone very, very popular.
A few years ago, I climbed with Charlie Bird. We raised 3.6 million for Pieta House.
We remember it. Extraordinary. And you celebrate marriages up there. Weddings.
I have done that. I'm not fishing or I'm not advertising for any more of them. But yeah, we do them if they're requested. Yeah, it's a place of worship. So it's honoured. Yeah, it's a place where you can have a wedding ceremony.
We were talking to Oscar and Andrea Hack.
Yes, I was with them that day.
You were very good a few months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, they were lovely people.
There was their second visit. Their first visit, they got married and had a baby baptised, their baby son. And they came back with their baby daughter. So the first boy baptized up there was their son, Patrick. The first girl baptized up there was Alexandra. And I told them, any more baptism, please God, at sea level.
Make it a bit easier.
Make it a bit easier on them and on me. I'm not getting younger.
And you've done a lot of weddings up there. So it's
about 12 of them, yeah.
And to rein it in now.
One or two more to go this year.
There's something different about Reek Sunday this year, isn't there?
There is, yes. It's the Jubilee year. And hopefully on the hour we have our Mass. On the half hour we have hopefully an ecumenical service. Not every half hour. But yes, I've invited our local minister, Suzanne Cushions, and her Bishop Michael Burrows, if they'd like to avail of the opportunity. So the mountains
the
for
Anglican,
everybody.
The Anglican faith.
Yes, the Church of Ireland, the Anglican Church, yes. That day, as I said, every hour we have Mass and every half hour there's a little break. So there might be a period for people just to pray and reflect in a different way than having a Eucharist.
Is that the first time you've done that?
Well, it's the first time I suggested it. I felt it ties in nicely with the year of hope and the Jubilee year.
But we need it.
I think so. We need those feelings. We need hope.
Is it true some of the churches as well share services?
Yes. The first Lutheran wedding was up there recently. And that minister is coming back again. He's actually works full time as a kind of an engineer or something. And weekends he's a minister because their congregation is small. So he's back again. With another couple to marry.
It's a Catholic chapel, but you're allowing...
Well, it's a place of worship for permission. And it's recognised then by the state as well. If you are a solemniser, solemnisers can perform ceremonies in hotels. Mm-hmm. Priests, like I'm an ordained priest now, I can just perform ceremonies in a place of worship, like a church, an oratory, or a shrine where there's a worship. But yeah, it's recognised as a place.
It's on the list of the humanist ceremonies.
I mightn't go that far.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, a place of prayer and worship.
So it must be a lot of work for you to put that together with the crowds coming.
The crowds, well, the press release has just happened, and we kind of remind people every year this is happening. Everybody knows it's the back of their mind. Yeah, the big event and the big time for pilgrimage is Kirkpatrick Sunday, Reek Sunday, and the whole weekend. People travel as well from a local abbey called Ballintubber. They do a tohar, a kind of a Camino walk.
Yeah.
42 kilometres. Some people do it in three sections. Some people do it all in one section.
Really? 42 kilometres.
Those are the real five-star A students. The rest of us kind of might just approach the mountain from Murrisk. That's the general or the most popular route. There's also the route that Patrick took himself, St. Patrick, which would have come from Ballintubber Abbey site. While you're on Tubber, the place of the well where he baptised the people.
Oh, right.
40 days and nights, 461 AD. And that's when he climbed the mountain and spent time up there. As a mountain, it was worshipped. It was a pagan worship site as well. You had the sun twice a year, April, rolling down the side when it's setting. Also rolling down the side in August. So April time, reminding people, plant your fields and harvest time, August. So he came along and he didn't say stop worshipping the sun. He said start worshipping the S. O-N instead of the S-U-N.
Oh, right, okay.
And that's how it became a Christian place.
That's the Christian history of it. Because pilgrimages have a pagan past, but Kirkpatrick is a Christian.
Yeah, and it's Kirkpatrick, I suppose the name derives a little bit. One translation is that it's the stack or the hill of Patrick, the mountain of Patrick. It looks like a stack of turf or a stack of hay or a reek of hay.
That's the reason.
So yeah, that's how it got that nickname.
You kind of, you swear of my question about how much work it would be for you.
Oh, me personally. Well, I enjoy the work. If I can build in the time to do the weddings, I'd do more. But I can't obviously be up and down doing weddings. The workload. I have a help team. I'm at the parish team, St. Mary's. Hello to them all. Ingrid, Catherine, Jason, whatever name them all. Frank, Peter just retired. And Noreen and Brian. They're a core team I have that help me around all these things.
Fair play.
Yeah. It's not all on my shoulders.
Yeah, there's a lot of work involved stewarding and heralding.
Yes, then there's the teams that volunteer on the mountain. The Morris Community Development Council out there, they do a lot of work with the car parking and making sure people are safe and provided for in terms of catering around them and looking after them. And mountain rescue come on the day from all over the country. Every county, or most counties, I think every county, including the north of Ireland, have a team of mountain rescue people who will make an effort to be there on that day and help us out. And then, of course, Coast Guard and the Army helicopters are too. Yeah, when you go into the logistics,
I know.
They come across Europe
on top
to
of
see
the
this,
births,
yeah.
deaths, and marriages going on, and also the services as well. You sound like you love what you've chosen to spend your life.
Absolutely. Thank God I'm blessed in my vocation, and I enjoy my vocation. It's a challenge. There are up days and down days, and good days and bad days, but overall, I think I've made a good choice that I'm happy with.
There's a message in here for you. It says, I have taken a break from my faith for many reasons, but listening to Father John Kenny, we could do with someone like him in our area. By the way, Westport is one of our favourite places. This is a West Roscommon listener.
Roscommon. Okay, up Roscommon and up Mayo. Delighted to hear that. Yeah. And the mountain, that's the wonderful thing about the mountain. You don't have to be holy to climb it. And so people have this experience when they climb it. They kind of seeing other people in barefoot and seeing people making the effort, older people especially, you kind of think, well, wow, this is important. This is, this is
good. For that person whose faith is wobbling, you can marvel at the wonders of life and the universe.
Exactly.
Anywhere, really, can't you?
Yeah. Even if you can't climb a mountain, go into a forest, lie down and look up at the sky and the trees around you.
Forest bathing.
Nature will tap you on the shoulder.
Thanks a million for coming in to chat to us, and safe home now in your Tesla.
I've heard recharge it. It's
a good range. It's a good range.
Yeah, 500 kilometres.
Yeah. And I know someone who purposely drives an EV because they pause long enough to charge up.
Yeah, I'll have a break on the way home.
Father John Kenny, thank you so much, and a safe passage and everything, and enjoy Reek Sunday and the Jubilee year.
The Jubilee year. Thank you.
Email oliver@rte.ie.